I'm Jed Bodwin, and you are listening to Into Music from the KMUW studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guest on this episode is Kim House from the Seattle, Washington band Photoform. The new Photoform album, Grief as a Garden, Forever in Bloom, is out everywhere April 18th. House discussed how grief played a role in inspiring the album, how being diagnosed with a chronic illness and a shakeup in her professional life led her to significant personal changes, and much more. All this from her home in Seattle. That's Kim House of Photoform on Into Music, coming up now. Tell me a little bit about, you know, kind of how this one started, you know, presenting itself, you know, whether it was you kind of knew, hey, it's time to make a new one, or songs started trickling in, whatever.
I think songs kind of started trickling in as they do, right? They, you know, kind of come usually as some sort of urge, or maybe from a sound, or, you know, when you're going through something. For me, oftentimes music is kind of the only thing that makes sense. So this album, I think, like all of them for us, came about pretty organically. You know, it ended up being sort of, I don't want to say a concept album, but there's a very strong theme running through the whole thing. And that is very much a reflection of just a series of pretty catastrophic life events that led up to the making of the album. So it really became this sort of ritual of working through these big life events, and sort of, you know, the title of the album is Grief is a Garden, Forever in Bloom. And just, yeah, sitting with grief and all of this stuff and trying to make sense of it and come to terms with, you know, some of these new things that were, yeah, circling at the time.
I don't know, this idea of grief, of course, you know, I've been aware of it my whole life, but I feel like as I've gotten older, I have a greater awareness of what it actually means. And the kind of weight of it. Is that kind of also what was going on?
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, as we live our lives, we accumulate grief and we accumulate our experiences with it. And I think, at least in my case, we acquire this knowledge that once we've experienced it, it's a part of us, right? And so it doesn't ever go away. I think it changes us. It informs new versions of us, of ourselves. And, you know, that can go many different ways. I lost a brother when I was 17, and we were super close, and it really changed my entire world. And I would say the obvious pain and sorrow and all of those things, of course, were there. But there are ways that grief can kind of nourish us too. You know, I sort of took on this idea that I understand more now. At the time, I wouldn't have been conscious of it, but sort of living for two, I became even more motivated to do things because he couldn't do things. And so, yeah, I think it just, yeah, grief, it's a big nut to crack. And there are so many ways it can come out. And I think, you know, for me, music has become such an important part of that sort of almost bloodletting, because, like in the case of my brother, I, you know, was really young. We talk more about mental health now than we did at the time. I didn't have, you know, a strong community that had experienced these things. Back to your saying, you know, you understand more about grief now, right? We've experienced more of it. And so I shut down, and it came out in physical ways like a year later, because I didn't deal with it. And so, yeah, music and this album in particular, you know, writing and going through that kind of catharsis of sitting with it and giving it its time and its energy and having a place to put that and try to sort of make some sense of it and also just let it be what it is so, yeah, important, I think, to me. And I think music in general really helps a lot of people going through various things. We're all grieving, whether it's, you know, all of the societal stuff going on or existential crisis that we're, you know, it just feels like the world is falling apart and we're along for the ride. So, yeah, I don't know.
I am curious about having the creative outlet to process some of that, because I've definitely gone both ways myself, where it's like sometimes, yes, the creativity is like, is this way of pouring it out? And then other times I've had it where it's like I turn inward and it's like I couldn't think of being creative. I couldn't think of expressing this. You know what I mean?
Yes. I hate those times. Those times really suck. We all have them. I mean, yeah, I experienced that too. But I guess for me, when I hit a stage like that, I still try to go to the space. You know, we have a setup in the basement with all the instruments around, and there's energy in the instruments, and it just kind of move around until I find a tool that feels good. And if it doesn't, then, you know, I try to do something else. But there are also little tricks, and we have tons of bits and pieces in our archives that sometimes if nothing's coming and I feel like I want to be playing music or doing something creative, I'll change gears and go listen to one of those bits and see what sticks, and maybe some words will come to mind, or, you know, something else will get shaken loose.
If you don't mind my asking, like, how long of a period of time was the stuff that kind of inspired the album going on? You know, was this like months, years?
The life events?
Yeah.
The big, yeah. Well, you know, I would say from years. In some way, years. And, you know, we're always writing music, and then you kind of see the collection of songs that come together. So, you know, alongside writing this album, we've got a bunch of other songs that sort of didn't make the cut. But the life events that really, you know, kind of got to the core of this started way back in 2019. And, you know, without going too deep into the weeds, I will just say that my life kind of exploded personally, professionally. It was just this year of chaos. I mean, Jeff, who is, you know, in the band, we are a couple, we're married, and he broke his hip skateboarding. This kind of was just random. But my job of, I was in the fashion industry for a very long time. And I had become sort of dissatisfied and was looking for something more purposeful. And so this whole kind of eruption happened around that. My dad, who I was really close to, had a stroke and recovered. Our 16-year-old dog died. And then all of this other stuff. I went to Italy. I studied sustainable fashion. I was just trying to find my way. And then the pandemic hit, and we know what that was. My dad died, like collapsed and died in the first, I guess it was 2 months into the pandemic. So it was that really scary time where, you know, we risked our lives to fly across the country to Atlanta to go see him. And, you know, we all went through the isolation. We actually wrote the previous album kind of around all of this chaos, right? And this new album, I will back up and say the one thing that's really kind of stuck after my dad passed away and all of that happened, right as the vaccines were coming out, I started having incredible pain in my leg, and I had no idea what was going on. I had all of these emergency tests and procedures. No one could figure it out. And it turns out I developed a chronic, incurable neurological condition that causes debilitating pain. It's chronic. And so I went for about a year and a half of having this really scary stuff happen. I couldn't put weight on. I mean, it was just like torpedoes going off down there, like nothing I'd ever experienced before. And going through this, so then isolation happened again, right? Just as everyone else was kind of becoming free, now I'm sort of trapped in my body and I'm freaked out and no one can help me. And I'm still grieving my dad and just all of this major change. And so eventually that was thankfully, or not thankfully, diagnosed. It's CRPS. They call it the suicide disease. It's very painful. But knowing, you know, having the knowledge around what it was and then finding a team that could help me learn to cope with this kind of chronic pain and sort of get a semblance of normalcy, knowing that I'm not making it worse or hurting myself by doing some of these things. It just hurts a lot. That was a turning point. And that turning point, I think in some ways informed this album. So it was sort of still going through the grief, but now also kind of a loss of self, a loss of old self, losing my dad and having lost both my parents, you know, left me feeling really unmoored. So there's just this sense of, okay, here I am. I feel like things can always get worse, obviously, but it really felt like hitting bottom in some ways and rebuilding. So there's a lot around resilience and healing on this album too, and reflection and just kind of getting to know this deep and tender part of yourself when everything just sort of falls apart. And how do you get up again and again and again with this like series of trauma and catastrophe and everything swirling around and nothing's at it as it was and it won't ever be again, you know, all of these things. And so this kind of years-long series of events and dealing with really hard stuff clearly informed the album, but then also there's this lightness to it too. I learned a lot through the process. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about my relationship, you know, with Jeff. We're so super strong and even more so through all of this. I'm really fortunate to have good healthcare. I went through a hospital program that's like a boot camp for people who have these incurable chronic conditions, and learned a lot there just about pain in general and these sort of big life concepts and coping skills, and, you know, really clicked with the pain psychologist who I still am fortunate enough to see. And I learned a lot, and I also found my way. So sort of turning pain into purpose is a thing, and that I feel so grateful for. I, you know, was banging my head against the wall with trying to figure out a different avenue to use my talents and skills for good. And I, through this, the pain psychologist I was seeing had kind of asked, you know, have you seen a life coach? And I thought she was talking about like, I should see a career coach or something. And I was like, no, you know, I haven't done that. And then I realized she was talking about me, and that kind of clicked. Like, oh, wait a minute. I have this big professional background and this music stuff and a bunch of life experience with pain and grief and loss and making it through. And so I ended up going and becoming a certified coach, and I'm now coaching creatives and helping others find their way, like figure out what's really important to them and how to get there. So that's a very long-winded way of saying the album was formed by a lot of really hard stuff, coming through the hard stuff, and, you know, not shedding the grief, because that's a part of me. All of these experiences have informed who I am today. But there's a lot around resilience, and the making of this album was really kind of almost a ritual of reflecting on this grief and these different versions of myself and all of these things that I've gone through, and kind of coming out the other side. And then a few weeks ago, I lost a brother. He died unexpectedly, suddenly. He was healthy, you know, we think it was a stroke. And so here I am again, you know, just sort of sitting in this fresh state of grieving. So it just feels like surreal, kind of to be singing these songs and talking about all of this through this lens of fresh grief, because, you know, really it was supposed to be kind of letting go of some of this energy. So it's just, that's how life works, right? We can't really plan these things.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that about your brother. That's
Thank you.
Yeah. You said something that I did want to touch on, because there is that, you know, if we lose a job or we find ourselves in a position with our career where we need a change, or there's something wrong with our house, or maybe a relationship isn't going the way that, you know, so that has to transform. But when it's the self that you have to grieve, that's a big, you know, like, you know, I went through something in 2023, and a friend of mine was, she was trying to get me, let's have fun in life. And, you know, and she looked at me and she's like, you know, you're still in there. And I thought, I don't know. Like, I don't know if the guy that you think and you want to see is really in there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's huge. It is so, it does. I mean, you've hit the nail on the head, right? When you have these experiences, even when it is a love, you know, when it is a loved one that you lose a part of yourself, or you lose that part of your history. But when it's your own physical being, your world has been completely turned upside down like that. Yeah, it does change you. And you can't rush the part of the process that's rebuilding this new self, right? I mean, it's just, yeah, there is loss, and it is hard when it's isolating. And it's, yeah, it's so hard when it's something that changes you to this degree. I've been through a lot of loss in my life. I've lost both parents and now two brothers and all of this stuff, but going through this, the onset of this physical condition has been, yeah, unlike anything that I've experienced in that way, for sure.
You became you're doing coaching, and you're doing coaching with creatives. That's interesting to me. What kinds of things have you stumbled upon in that process, you know, that you can kind of talk about at least?
Yeah. I mean, it's such a beautiful process, and I feel so honored to sit with another human and learn about their experience. And, you know, we go really deep. I mean, I guess kind of in a nutshell, it's really just peeling back all the layers to help people figure out, you know, what it is they would really want. I think that sometimes is the hardest part, right? I wish I would have had these strategies or just this kind of training earlier in my own career to kind of help get there faster. But it really just comes down to finding out what you truly value. And, you know, and once you kind of figure out what you really want, how do you get there? And it's, every process is different. I mean, I'm working with, and when I say creatives, it doesn't just mean musicians, or, you know, worked with psychologists and, you know, a medical writer, and of course, musicians, and artists and designers, as was my previous life. But creatives and people who want to make a change, and creative thinkers, it's hard to talk about the process without getting into the details. But it sure has been a joy. And for me, and I think with our music too, it's all really about connection, authentic connection. And I feel so lucky to be able to do that in my, you know, professional life now, showing up wholly as, you know, who I am with my whole heart, and not trying to force something that for a long time, you know, was very exciting, and, you know, I'm happy that I did it, but there was always kind of a piece that didn't fit quite right.
What would you say has changed about making music from when you started till now? In terms of like I think I have a hard time sometimes explaining to people, for instance, who don't write. They're like, oh, well, it's got to be fun, you know, and da 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 da. And I'm like, no.
Sometimes it's fun.
But it's taken on all these different facets over time, where it's like, now, you know, after years, I have experience and I have perspective and I have all that other stuff that I, you know, obviously I didn't have in the first moment, you know?
So how has it changed in terms of process, or in terms of just?
Well, I mean, you know, process is good, but also just in terms of like how you see it, because I think maybe, I don't know, sometimes young people, it's like, yeah, it is that thing where it's like, oh, well, this is fun. This is, you know, whatever. And then eventually it's like, I've been at this for 15 years. It's different.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think for me, process does come into it, because when I first started playing music, the process was getting people in a room, making noise, and hopefully something magical would come out, and it would, and you'd sort of clamp onto it and just beat it to the ground until something fully formed. And that was the process for a long time. And so I think, you know, there was this kind of almost what if energy, what's going to happen at practice? Who's going to come, you know? So it felt a lot more kind of fly by the seat of your pants, I guess, and more just about this communal experience of hanging out and, you know, making noise in a room together. And through the years, and I think, you know, with various events, and one of the events being me getting comfortable with at first like a little four track, and now of course recording in your computer is so easy. So the technology sort of advanced, and the process changed. And so I would say the last two records have been almost entirely written through home demoing first, which was, you know, really not the way it used to work. And I think with the last album, we may have done a couple songs, you know, started as bits in the rehearsal space, but recording and writing has become a lot more personal, or a lot more just sort of secluded. And even Jeff and I, we live together, and we never, I wouldn't say net, well, almost never. We almost never write together. It's separately, you know, I'll be tracking stuff downstairs, or he'll be making up a guitar part in another room. So that's really changed it. And I think that has, because we have changed our process that way sort of recently, it's kept it really magical and interesting. And I think anytime you sort of make a pivot like that, it feels new. But for me, still, there's magic in just like sometimes a sound will just inspire an entire song. Maybe it's a new sound on a keyboard, or maybe it's a new pedal, or maybe it just comes out. So yeah, I don't know if that really answers your question, but for us, I do think process and that we changed it fairly recently has really kept it fresh and exciting in that way.
Has there been a time where you felt like maybe creativity wasn't going to be there, or it was kind of obscuring itself?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I would say while grieving, there were definitely times where I just felt stuck, and I actually felt kind of physically sick. Like I just couldn't get it out. Like just, and especially with my condition, in the early stages, especially, I couldn't really walk. And so, you know, being stuck in this body and not having that creative spark is like a special kind of hell. I mean, there's just no release when it's like that. And I, you know, everyone goes through that. I've had those dreams, or I've, you know, woken up in the morning going, you know, I hope it's still there, because it does feel like this thing you can't always control. And that's, you know, that's part of the magic too. But yeah, it's scary when that happens, for sure. Nobody likes that feeling.
You've been listening to a conversation with Kim House of Photoform. The band's latest LP, Grief is a Garden, Forever in Bloom, is out everywhere April 18th. Find out more about the band and the record via their Bandcamp page, as well as their official social media pages. Our digital producers are Carly Cooper, Beth Golay, and Hugo Fan. Our theme music is composed and performed by Torn Anderson. You can learn more about this podcast and all programming from our station by visiting our website, kmuw.org. Send us your questions and comments at info@kmuw.org and find all the latest programming notes on that website as well. Thanks again for listening. We will see you next time.